Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger. We are going to be taking a look here now that the hearing has concluded, now that the plea has been accepted, and the plea of guilty is now what Brian Koberger has admitted to. There's a lot of questions about the future. What is going to happen here? And there's some interesting speculation already on the rise. One of the people who has been silent on in this case, but we've been very curious to get answers from, would have been Catherine Ramsland, who was his professor at DeSales University. She's now speaking for the first time with News Nation's Brian Enten, and we're going to take a look at that interview, kind of break it down and discuss a bit. You remember Howard Bloom, not that long ago, had put out that article where he was hypothesizing that, you know, maybe was he doing these things to impress her or to be better than her, because he looked at her kind of like an idol, I guess, so to speak. I mean, she's one of the best at her craft. So, you know, someone who's in it for the right reasons would look at her and go, yeah, you are the best at this. It's... yeah, it was a spooky moment, today. I want to take, a moment here and, we'll take a look at, what it looked like in the courtroom, earlier. This is, which camera am I going to over here? This is coverage from earlier in the day when we were live. And this is the moment we're going to take a look at where Koberger very, very coldly answers those questions.
Count one, burglary. The state would have to have proven that on or about November 13, 2022 in Latah County, Idaho, you unlawfully entered a residence located at 1122 King Road in Moscow, Idaho, with the intent to commit the felony crime of murder. As to count two, the state would have had to have proven that on or about that same date in Latah County, Idaho, you did willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, with premeditation and malice aforethought, kill and murder Madison Mogan, a human being, by stabbing Madison Mogan, from which she died. As to count three, the state would have had to have proven that on that same date in Latah County, at that same address, You did willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, with premeditation and malice aforethought, kill and murder Kaylee Gonzalez, a human being, by stabbing her from which she died. As to count four, the state would have had to have proven that on or about that same date in Latah County, Idaho, you did willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, with premeditation and malice aforethought, kill and murder Zanna Kernodle, a human being, by stabbing her from which she died. And then as to count five, also murder in the first degree, that on or about November 13th, 2022, in Latah County, Idaho, you did willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, with premeditation and malice aforethought, kill and murder Ethan Chapin, a human being, by stabbing him from which he died. Do you understand those things the state would have had to have proven?
Yes.
And do you understand that by pleading guilty, the state no longer has to prove those things because you're admitting those things are true?
Yes.
I want to also make, for the record, the defendant has provided with the guilty plea advisory form a document entitled Written Factual Basis that purports to have the defendant's signature dated 1 July 2025. Did you sign that document?
Yes.
And did you agree with the written factual basis that is included there?
Yes.
And then let me ask you, did you, on November 13th, 2022,
there it is,
enter the residence at 1122 King Road in Moscow, Idaho, with the intent to commit the felony crime of murder?
Yes.
Did you, on November 13th, 2022, in Latah County, state of Idaho, kill and murder Madison Mogan, a human being?
Yes.
And did you do that willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, and with premeditation and malice aforethought?
Yes.
Did you, on or about that same date in Moscow, Idaho, kill and murder Kaylee Gonzalez, a human being?
Yes.
And did you do that willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, and with premeditation and malice aforethought?
Yes.
And did you, on that same date in Moscow, Idaho, kill and murder Zanna Kernodle, a human being?
Yes.
And did you do that willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, with premeditation and malice aforethought?
Yes.
And then on or about November 13th, 2022, again in Latah County, Idaho, did you kill and murder Ethan Chapin, a human being?
Yes.
Did you do that willfully, unlawfully, deliberately, with premeditation and malice aforethought?
Yes.
I would ask the state at this time to provide its recitation of its factual basis had this case gone to trial.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So basically what we got is a condensed version of what the opening statements would have been from Prosecutor Bill Thompson. The image behind me right now, that's him in court today. That is probably one of the closest up ones that we've seen. That one is not AI. That is him. That is him today in court. Those dead eyes.
Yeah, he does look like a shark. He just does. He just looks empty, like a shell.
Yeah.
He's no longer going to be wearing street clothes the next time we see him. Was it July 23rd we're doing the sentencing?
It is July 23rd and possibly the 24th if they need more time.
Yeah, he'll be in a jumpsuit. He'll be wearing prison garb. Yeah. That's the last time we'll see him in a suit, I'm assuming. Maybe.
It is. That is the last time we're going to be seeing him in a suit. Another thing I found interesting was the scolding of Steve Gonzalez at the very beginning without saying his name.
Yeah.
I found that to be a little like, shut the F up, Judge. Like, I'm sorry this guy lost, because you're staff in your office fumbled this so badly and didn't give them a chance to like really say their piece, that they're angry. And he goes on TV and says, please let them know. And your response is, have not and will not listen. Pretty tone deaf.
Well, and that's just it. I understand that the law.
I get it. Pretty tone deaf.
I get it too. They have to follow the letter of the law. But here's the thing. These are parents of dead children. At the end of the day, there are four kids who are no longer alive.
Yeah.
Let the man have his emotions. I get it.
And
but
look,
come on.
There was nothing wrong with what he was doing.
It's not illegal.
He was expressed because he felt he was not being heard. So he was going to be heard. And because you didn't want to hear him, tough shit. And there's nothing that, and the thing is, he wasn't trying to sway your opinion with a bunch of people saying this, that he was trying to be heard. He was trying to have you see just how damaging this could be from his perspective.
Yeah.
And you need to. And I know the judge said I did. Great, but for the love of God, have not and will not listen, and I'm turning him to the authorities. Okay, great. I thought that was shitty. I thought that was that was shitty. I feel horrible for all the families. Everybody kind of having different opinions on it. An interesting other piece of what has gone down in the last 24 hours, Dr. Catherine Ramsland speaking for the first time on the case. She was not able to previously because she was on that witness list and was not going to be able to say anything. Now speaking for the first time with News Nation's Brian Enten just the other night. And we're going to watch some of that interview and kind of break down what was discussed and all of that. I want to, before we do that, I want you to take a quick look at this video, because I was just thinking of this before we got in here to record. Wrong camera. Which one do I need to go to here? This one. Okay. Koberger is in the upper right video. And there to me, I'm not going to say anything. Watch it. We'll talk on the other side. I'm not going to turn the sound on.
Yes.
All right, and Mr. Koberg, just to make it easier, you don't need to stand when you speak to me. I appreciate the, want you to plead guilty to a crime you didn't commit. If you attempt to plead guilty today, but for some reason I don't accept your plea, then it is possible that your statements today could be used against
you. My point is, there.
Thank you. And now, while you're standing, actually, why don't you take the oath from the clerk?
He wasn't even supposed to stand. So he takes the oath. And if you watch.
Yeah, he stood up when the judge was speaking to him.
Mr.
Like,
Koberg, just to make it easier, you don't need to stand when you speak to me. I appreciate the sign of respect, but for convenience.
I don't think there was a sign of respect, Judge. I think that was a serial murderer that is now basking in the moment, honestly. He was like a turtle out there on a log in a river, basking in the sunlight.
Interesting that you say that, because my perspective was the judge is taking that as a sign of respect, but he didn't have respect for the four people that he killed.
Yeah. That ain't respect, Judge. I know. I mean, I get like how one could look at it that way, but I don't think it was. Because if you watch him right before he stands up, before he even does, he's getting fidgety. Like he cannot wait to get out of that chair and stand up in that courtroom.
He's just popcorning like a guinea pig, right?
Yeah. Really? I mean, literally. Brian Enten was sitting behind his parents in court today. I didn't know earlier if his parents were there or not, but they were. And he said that it was, they weren't crying. They were not crying. You could tell that they were, you know, emotional, but they were not crying.
Probably numb at this point.
As their son sat there and acknowledged that he just murdered four people. Yeah.
They've had a loss too.
I'm not criticizing them.
I know.
I'm saying I think they've probably been to hell and back with this already. And they've maybe made their peace as best that they can with something like this. I don't know, but I feel horrible for them as well. Let's go and take a look at this conversation that Brian Anton of News Nation had with Catherine Ramsland just the other night when he was in for Ashley Banfield. There we go. Let's take a look.
Though, and we're joined exclusively by her, renowned forensic psychologist, Dr. Catherine Ramsland. As you may know, she was Brian Kohberger's professor and advisor at DeSales University in Pennsylvania. She has not spoken publicly about Brian Kohberger until now. She's been on this show talking about other cases, but she's been very, very careful not to talk about Kohberger because of the trial, because she was going to be a witness at the trial, and she now feels comfortable to open up to us. And we've got so many questions, Dr. Ramsland, that I've got so many questions I've wanted to ask you for so long. I want to start with, how did you first meet Brian Kohberger? What classes of yours was he in?
Okay, I want to be just clear that I'm still within the FERPA limitations that protect students and student information. So I will talk within that. I met him in the fall of 2018 when he came to DeSales University. He had an associate's degree, and he was going to get into our four-year program as a psychology major. He selected the forensic track, which made him an advisee for me because I managed the forensic track. And he was also in my class that semester.
And Dr. Ramsland talks about FERPA. I should have mentioned that. There is a law, it's a federal law, I believe, that she is not allowed to talk about certain aspects of a student, their grades, certain parts of their academic life. It's almost like a HIPAA. So she's going to tell us what she can, but unless Brian Kohberger signs off, she's legally not allowed to talk about certain elements of his academic career. So just keep that in mind if there's some things that Dr. Ramsland can't answer. What was your perception of him?
He seemed like eager to be in the classroom. He was polite. He was respectful, intense, and curious. And there was no reason for me to think that he was anything other than someone who was really interested in this potential career.
Was there anything looking back now that was strange about him or that you noticed?
When I look back, there really isn't anything that stood out to me. I think when you're a teacher, your instinct is to accept students at face value. You don't, you know, start with suspicions or, you know, and there really weren't any red flags. He was always really quite respectful and grateful. He would thank me for things. He was attentive. He would do the work. I didn't have any concerns.
Let's stop there for a second. Are you surprised by any of that, or what's your reaction?
No.
I can't say I'm either. He seems to be, you know, what he's into. And I imagine he would kind of be almost like a perfect type student if you happen to be the one teaching the subject that he's into. Look at those eyes. I mean, it's like a hyper focus, you know, hyper to a, imagine if it was used for something productive, you know?
All right.
But I think that's what he thought he wanted. I think he thought this was going to be super productive because I think he thought he'd get away with it. Then he could teach about it or be taught about. And he'll be the one that, you know, is infamous, but he's the only one who knows it. Well, not how that worked out. Let's watch a little bit more of this with Brian and Catherine Ramsland.
What I think it was four classes that you taught him in. What were those classes?
There were three undergraduate courses in the forensic track that I taught, and he was in all of them. Well, one was forensic introduction to forensic psychology. Another was my death investigation class, which was called psychological sleuthing. And the third one was called Dangerous Minds, the psychology of antisocial behavior. And then
I
got into the graduate program in criminal justice for a master's degree. And he took a class with me, a course with me called behavioral criminology.
I want to take those classes. They sound fun.
Is there anything, Dr. Ramsland, when you look back and you think about the curriculum of those classes, and not getting into his specific experience, but when you think about what you taught in those classes that you think, oh my gosh, he may have used that in what he's now accused of doing here in Idaho?
Well, the antisocial behavior course involves serial killers and mass murderers. And we do a lot of case analysis. I use two books that I wrote. One was written with the BTK killer, whom you just mentioned, and his decision process and the crimes and how he thought about them and felt about them and what was it like for him, you know, to be caught. So that's a very intense book. And also I have one called The Mind of a Murderer, which was about various behavioral experts over the past century who interviewed killers, mass murderers, and serial killers to get as close as possible, spending a lot of time with them to get as close as possible to their process of becoming a criminal. And so he would have been exposed to that. I think some of the, now looking back, I would look at maybe some of the things that interested him as being, you know, something that gives me pause, but we always have to think about, we all know, everyone in this field, forensic psychology and criminology, know that we could have students who might become offenders. But we also know that the majority, the vast majority of our students will not, and will instead go into a field like law enforcement, FBI, Secret Service, that make the world better, that protect us. That, so we know that there's always a risk that we're attracting somebody who wants to do something terrible. Hoping we won't ever have that, but you know, in my case, I did.
No, I mean, she's had plenty of time to think about all this. I mean, mm-hmm. It's got to be kind of astounding, though, too, when that happens. I wonder if this is the first time she's had a student that has, I mean, it's probably the worst, but if anybody else has gone off the rails, you know, to some extent.
Yeah.
And used that, but.
You know, and that's a question I'd like to ask her. Like, when you're teaching a class and you get to know your students, have you gotten that vibe? I mean, some people are very, they pick up on vibrations, and I don't mean any woo-woo stuff, but I just mean, like, I'm getting a vibe from you that something mm-hmm. is just off. And I wonder how many people end up in those classes, because I remember when I was pre-vet in college, you know, you get the ones marching in there and I'm going to be a vet. My dad's a vet. My, you know, grandfather was a vet, and they don't know what they're doing, but they're just giving off this aura of I'm the shit. And I wonder how many of those people she gets in those classes and she goes, you're not going to make it in this field.
I bet a lot. I mean, although by the time you get to her at a graduate level, you're probably pretty good in it. She's not getting like the newbies. This isn't like a freshman level, you know, criminology class. You've spent your time and shown your dedication to this, I think, by the time you get Catherine as your professor.
Well, and I agree with that. Do you think, Brian, if he had held back that impulse to kill somebody, to kill four people, do you think he could have been good at this?
Possibly. I don't have anything to say, you know, his obsessive behavior would certainly, you know, glean itself into that. How good would it have been? I don't know. I mean, the fact that he only did leave the knife sheath, he wasn't horrible. He wasn't great, but he wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
So, and that's just for a student. So I don't know. I mean, I think he, you know, his personality would have always prevented a lot for him because it just doesn't mix with others. I think probably at some point something would have happened. He would have done something somewhere because if he has this urge for whatever reason he had it, that was going to erupt somewhere, some way, somehow, and this is how it did.
Wow.
I don't know that there'd be a... I don't know if there's an alternate path for Brian Koberger, or there ever was. I think if your brain is that wired that way, then something, it's going to go. At some point, it's going to go. Unless you go first.
I wonder what his classmates feel about him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear more of that.
Did they pick up on, like, what I'm talking about with the vibe? Because, yeah, you know, we do pick these vibes up from people.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people who picked up the vibes. There was, the doc that came out, or the Dateline that came out, talks about some of the people that, and some of the people who interacted with him, how kind of odd and off he was. And some people also saying, well, you know, he was like, oh, and it's interesting. That's one where I think has some good insights. Here's a little bit more with Brian and Catherine.
Can you say, Dr. Ramslin, what it was looking back now that sort of raises your eyebrows specifically in terms of things in the class?
I think just the idea of wanting to study offenders and what their thought process was, how they felt about their crimes, wanting to study that and then finding out that this is a person who then is now saying he's guilty of doing these things. I have to look at the framework of what I taught and wonder, did I inspire him in some way? Did I, you know, but I can't second guess that because I may have inspired somebody else to become an FBI agent.
Yeah.
And that's, unfortunately, in this field, you know, that's what we live with.
I mean, you've been studying serial killers most of your life, but when you talk about the fact that you may have, what you taught may have inspired this, that's got to be hard for you to process, I would imagine.
It's terrible, very hard. And it's not just what happened to the victims. I really thought Brian Koberger was a promising student who really could have made a mark in this career and, you know, in a very positive way. I thought that. So disappointed, angry, and, you know, and shocked that, you know, this is who he turned out to be, and horrified for the victims and their families, just horrified. I mean, I worked with Dennis Rader closely for 5 years. I met the victims' families. I saw the devastation that some these kinds of acts can have, and I have to always keep that in mind when I'm teaching these subjects.
What did you think when you first heard that Brian Koberger, your former student, was arrested for this?
I was completely floored. I didn't believe it. And his demeanor that we saw on media was that he was confident that he was going to be able to prove his innocence. So I wanted to wait and see. I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. But as months go by and he kept saying that he had an alibi, and I wondered, well, why are you sitting in jail? Give us your alibi, get out. And that wasn't happening. And then it was really when he said his alibi, and it was clearly not an alibi, and he would have known that, certainly from all the classes that he had through undergraduate and graduate work, he would have understood that wasn't really an alibi. I think that was when I was really, you know, floored that this is my student who has done these things.
That's a weird part of the whole thing. He knew, like, why keep saying stupid shit?
You know? Right?
Like, why not come up with some sort of alibi? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he knew that that would be insane to say, so he said it.
Yeah.
Or is his mind just so wrapped up in thinking that he didn't even recognize that that would be an insane alibi because he just thinks he's God. I don't know. Or was it all to mess with the people? What is this like a reverse study in his mind? He's studying us. He's studying the people. He's studying the people that he terrorized. Is all this part of that for him?
You know, maybe that makes me question if he would have been good in this class, because the alibi is everything.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Did he not think this through? He just thought about the process and not the after part?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a very twisted way of thinking going on here. But I do wonder if this is part of his thing of, I don't know, maybe we're way overthinking it too. Maybe it's just a rage and an urge and a hate and I don't know.
You mentioned, I mean, you studied BTK, the serial killer. You met with him many times in prison. This is what you do in a hope to prevent these things from further happening and understand the mind of a serial killer. Would you want to study Brian Koberger? Have you put any thought into that? Is that something that you think could be possible?
I've been thinking about that for 2.5 years. I would. I mean, this is my work. If he wanted to do that, I would. And within the framework of this is what we do to try to look at developmental trajectories, the triggers, that so that we can see the red flags faster. We can prevent people like this from wreaking the havoc that they do. So if he wanted to do that, I know that he's got the intellectual capacity to do it, to be self-reflective, to help think through how his life came to this. And so I would definitely do it if he were willing. And it would be hard. But I think because I have so much material from him, I have questions for him that I think nobody else but me could ask.
It feels like the beginning of a horror movie.
And just my last question, Dr. Ramsland, I mean,
where it's like it's like Halloween is what it reminds me of. Where it's the killer, the doctor's there talking. If I could study, I would study him. And then, you know, then it cuts to the scene where the study begins. And somehow in that study, he breaks out. You know, this feels just, it's creepy. It's very creepy. That's a chunk of the interview with Brian Anton and Catherine Ramsland on News Nation. From just the other day, the full interview you can find over with News Nation.
Man, it's not how I thought it would go, but they must have had meetings that, you know what, we aren't going to be able to defend you and you could end up dying.
And at the end of the day, I'm just surprised. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't take the risk because he's already on the ride and he's been going on the ride over and over and over for the last 3 years without saying, hey, let's turn the roller coaster off. I'm done. Why now? Why now?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, you're facing death, but you knew you were facing until, I guess, you run. At the end of the day, death was what was going to scare him. Death is what scared him. Because I didn't know if he was afraid of that. I didn't know he was afraid of that or not. I just kind of thought maybe he's not, and he's just going to go for the whole experience. But he closed Wally World down early. I don't know what that says.
You know, do you think any entity is going to have access to him? Will he be able to talk?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think is going to get the first interview?
I think it'll be years before he gives an interview.
Wait a minute. We were just talking that this guy was just popcorning, you know, waiting to stand up and be in front of the camera and let everybody see him. I bet he's going to take the bait. Some, they're going to be begging and pounding on the door, and he's going to go, yeah, let me get
well,
out there.
Well, I mean, there may be restrictions on that. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. There may be some. There might be restrictions on that. I can say that. I mean, people could write to
sure.
him. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, Lori Vallow, they're doing interviews with, so who the hell knows?
See?
Anything is possible. I don't know the answer to it, so I'm not going to speculate either way. I don't know that he wants, I don't know. I think it's going to be in a place and time of his choosing, though. I don't know. I don't think he's, I don't know. He was popcorning there, but I think that's because he was in that courtroom and he wanted that moment right there. I don't know that he's, you know, popcorning for a sit down with Diane Sawyer.
Guess we'll find out, won't yeah. we?
I think he'd be all about working with Katherine Ramsland. Yeah.
She's not going to interview him, do you think?
No, not as an interview, but as far as telling his story to someone. And she'll end up writing the book, and then she'll explain exactly... that may be how the story comes out.
Mm,
just like just like BTK's story, a lot of that came out through Katherine. So I could see a very similar thing here.
Yeah.
So... there you go. That's the world today. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. If you want to comment on anything that we got going on, all these cases, the thoughts, please join us on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you will find us right there. And you can comment on this or any of the many cases we cover for you right here. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Message and data rates may apply. Or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and ship directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story
after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In The News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.